Hey, welcome on this Friday to the Intentional Living Center, live with our phone lines open. We're going to focus on one of the five essentials. We're going to focus on the workplace today. And our workplace coach, intentional workplace coach, Linda Swindling, is going to be joining me today. She's written a new book called Ask Outrageously. What does that mean in the workplace? How do you ask and how should you not ask in the workplace? We're going to get right into it here. Live with our phone lines open for you right now.
From the studios of the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, a conference speaker and coach, and your advocate for the family. So you're in a good job, and it's good, but it could be great. Or it's not so good, and you really want it to be better. Joining Dr. Randy today is our intentional workplace expert, Linda Swindling. And she's going to help you to ask outrageously. Call now. Our lines are open. 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. Now, to help you be intentional for your work, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. Welcome to our program, to our center. Phone lines are open if you have a question about asking in the workplace. We scheduled Linda to be with us a while ago. I'm glad that she's able to do so today. Talk about asking outrageously. The phone number here is 888-888-1717. By the way, Linda is not only our intentional workplace coach, you hear her with our Intentional Living Minute, but she's also an author. She's a negotiation expert and a friend. And we're glad to have her be a part of the program today as we focus on the workplace. And Linda, I want to welcome you back to the Intentional Living Center today.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Randy. I'm supposed to call him the amazing Randy.
Yeah, that's right.
Because he asked me.
That's right.
Before we started.
I ask outrageously.
She said,
is there anything I should do? And I said, just make sure I look good by the end of the program. All right. You titled your book, Ask Outrageously, and that may imply to some people that's outrageous. I mean, when you come in and ask, that's an outrageous thing to do. What did you mean by that?
Well, I don't mean act crazy and get in trouble. It's not, you know, act rudely, but it does mean stretching a little bit outside your comfort zone. So for a lot of us, what is an outrageous request gets asked all the time by other people.
What are some examples that you've seen in the workplace where people have been asking outrageously?
Well, here's what we know, because I did a study, Randy, and I think you know this. About 1,200 people took our survey, and the outrageous thing was, you know, the big outstanding result was a lot of us haven't asked for something. So about a third of us haven't asked for a something big, mm-hmm. and watched it go to someone else. And the things that we didn't ask for were a raise, promotion. Those are always the easies. Mm-hmm. To work with another team. To, you know, go abroad and do something, to travel, to take on some responsibilities, to stop doing some things. We didn't ask. We just didn't, about a third of us. And we saw someone go and ask the same thing, and guess what? They got it.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with that is a lot of times there's only one opportunity like that. So if you hold back, if you don't ask, you know, you watch it go to someone else. And travel expenses, moving expenses. If you're relocating, ask for some sort of moving allowance. You'll be shocked later when you're working there, or vacation if you're changing jobs and you say, you know, I used to get 4 weeks. What can you do? Just see what they say.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the biggest regrets people would say is, I didn't ask for more money up front. I didn't ask for vacation. I didn't ask for those moving expenses, and wow, somebody else got them.
How important is the ask itself, how it's done, demanding versus listening, expecting versus realistic, you know, maybe for the company that you're working with, or the issues they're facing? Of course, they're going to be looking at, you know, their policies and their company, and maybe what you're asking to them really does seem outrageous.
Right. So that's what's so funny, or maybe ironic. We all think that people turn us down because we timed it wrong, or because they didn't have a budget, or the big one. All of us think, you know, just virtually everyone who took the survey put down, people tell me no because they didn't have enough information. I should have given them more information. So those kind of fall into what you just said, the mm-hmm. policies, the timing, the right. budget. What the truth was after, you know, we looked at the other question that we asked, which is, why do you turn people down? They said, I turn people down when they're asking for something that's inappropriate, something I can't give them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have it within my power to make you a vice president. I'm not a vice president. I don't have it right. within my power to change all of our policies. I don't have it within my power to call you the amazing Randy, whatever it is, right? And the other thing, though, that we really do have control over is trust. People said, I will turn someone down if I don't trust them, if I don't like them, if I don't respect them. So when we're making our ask, instead of, you know, doing all this prejudgment and all this preparation, what you might consider doing is flat out asking someone who could grant you something and say, you know, do you have the power to do this? And ask them in a way that they can trust you. So I can give an example about a raise, if that would help.
Hold on. We'll come back to that in just a moment. Linda Swindling's on the line with me today, and we're focusing on the workplace, one of the five essentials. And she's written a book called Ask Outrageously. Really, it has to do with workplace communication. And maybe there's things that you've wanted to ask for or at least get on the table and you have it held back. How do you do it? And also, I want to ask you the question, not only an example, but also what do you do when the answer is no? How do you handle that? When, okay, thank you for asking. Here's the answer. How do you handle that? 888-888-1717 is my number. What do we find? Does the scripture say anything about asking? You're thinking about some verses, aren't you? Matthew 7, John 15, James 1. We'll try to get a few of those as well. Talking about the workplace, though, right now with Linda Swindling, our intentional workplace coach. Come and join us. 888-888-1717.
Have you ever said, I wish I could communicate better?
Welcome to the Intentional Living Minute. Here's Linda Swindling, our intentional workplace expert.
Well, in order to improve communications with others, a good first step is to really understand your own communication style. So ask yourself, what motivates me? What gets in the way of my communicating well? How do I like to hear or receive information? And when do I have trouble understanding others? You know, determining your true communication style before you determine another's will save you both a lot of time, energy, and headaches. For Intentional Living, I'm Linda Swindling.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com.
And that is Linda Swindling, one of her 1 minute spots that we produce. She creates, writes, records, we produce, send out to our stations from Intentional Living, Intentional Workplace Coach Linda Swindling. And she's here live. That was recorded, but she's here live right now. And Linda, by the way, thank you for taking time to put those together. They're always very helpful to those listening. You know, in the book of James, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And we see in John 15 and Matthew 7, and Jesus talks about asking. It's important to ask. If you ask right, and if you ask for the right motives, and of course, that's part of it too. Before you go to the example there, what about when you do ask in the workplace, and the answer is no?
All right. Are you all ready for this? Because this is very important information.
All right.
You've just asked a big question, and you hear the words, no, you can't have it. That was a crazy ask. No, no, no. Did everybody survive? Of course you did. You survived that. The thing is, Randy, if you're not hearing no, you're probably not asking for enough. And if you do hear the word no, go to the next question. Say, hey, I heard you say no. Can you tell me about that? Have them walk you through why they told you no, because it might be, you know, they talk themselves into it. I've done that before where I tell somebody no and I start talking. I go, well, I guess that would be okay. Or it might be you get some insight. Maybe they have bad information, or maybe you thought you were doing great at something and you're not, or maybe they just don't know about it.
So it permits an opportunity to go a little deeper in the relationship and in communication, in expectations, and what's going on between you and your coworkers and your boss. It opens up the door to talk about deeper things, it sounds like.
Exactly. And a lot of us save up our, you know, request. Start practicing now. Start asking, you know, outside your comfort zone so you can get used to hearing no. Mm. Get used to it because, you know, a lot of times we're approaching somebody, let's say it is for a promotion. Well, you've thought about it for 3 months. This is brand new information to them. That's kind of outrageous for you to think that they would come up with a response right then that mirrors what you're doing. So, you know, go in knowing, what are you going to do if somebody says no? You're going to go to the next question and find out why.
Good response. Give us that example. You talked about examples of how to ask outrageously. Take us through an example.
Sure. Easy one. Go to the grocery store. If you're really embarrassed about doing this, go to a different grocery store. Go to one outside your neighborhood and just simply ask to do the one thing that people won't do. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Cut in line. Ask to cut in line. That's what most people won't do. Pick up a pack of gum and say, hey, do you mind if I cut in line? I just have this one thing. You would let somebody else do it, right? I mean, think about it. If you have a big shopping cart full of stuff.
But they're looking at you, Linda. They're looking at you. The guys in the back are saying, who does she think she is?
Yeah. I would say add a little explanation afterwards. All you have to say is because. Because I have someone waiting for me. Because I'm running late. Because I'm trying an experiment. It doesn't matter. Because I'm trying to ask for things.
Mm-hmm. So the point is you're trying to have a person experience a little bit of that discomfort of being a little more assertive.
And you're seeing how easy it is to get wins. You're seeing how many times people say yes. You have an expired coupon. Would you mind honoring this? Ask if that's too much, ask a stranger, which of these tomatoes looks fresh? You're at the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
Go to a garage sale. You know, hey, I only have $5 on me, which is true. You left the other money in the back in your car so that you wouldn't spend it, right? And you say, I only have $5 on me. I see you've got this marked up for $25. Could I have it for $5?
Mm-hmm.
See what they say. If they say no, you can live with it. You didn't need it anyway. Or you can go back to the car and get it. But experience people saying no and saying yes to you.
Yeah. You're welcome to join us, by the way, 888-888-1717. Michael called, I think it was Michael who called and had a question. Wasn't right on topic, but very close. And he was more concerned about coworkers in the workplace, Linda. And he's in a workplace where he hears people using profanity and especially using the Lord's name in vain. And, you know, how can you be assertive with that in a loving way as a Christian and yet make sure people understand your concern and how that impacts you in the workplace with them?
Sure. You can actually say, hey, guys, gals, gang, I don't like the language and the Lord's name in vain. Really, it bugs me when you use the Lord's name in vain. They'll say, well, gosh, what are you talking about? You can give them a couple examples and say, you know, that makes me uncomfortable. And just say, do you mind stopping it? Could you stop using that? And I say, okay. And then, you know, if they have a slip up or whatever, you don't become the language police. But if they continue doing it, you know, there's lots of things you can do. You can get headphones, you can move, you can ask them again. But how do you know what people are going to say if you don't ask?
Mm-hmm. I think there's another element to this, as I hear you share this, Linda, is that if we allow these pent-up feelings or concerns to build up, and we don't express them, what happens is instead of expressing them in a healthy way, you know, if you have an ask in the workplace, instead of asking in a healthy way, pretty soon it turns to expectations. And I've always taught that expectations not met create disappointment. And I think sometimes people build up these expectations and they start to build on them. And then what I'm saying is at the end of the day, if you don't ask, if you don't approach, if you don't deal with an issue, as a Christian, pretty soon it can become sin for yourself and that you're holding it in and you develop bitterness. And, of course, that's a bad thing for yourself spiritually.
Well, of course. And how do they even know if you don't let them know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people are not mind readers, despite,
right.
You know, they just aren't. You aren't. I am. I'm not. Nobody's a mind reader. And, you know, it's awful to really feel something and then not say it because you're right. People explode later.
Yeah.
Or they build stories around that aren't truthful.
It's all back to being honest, speaking the truth in love, right? Hey, hang on for a minute. We got Linda Swindling on the line. She's our intentional workplace coach. You hear her regularly on Intentional Living, our minute. She's an author, negotiation expert, and the author of a new book called Ask Outrageously. We got Lisa on the line. We'll get to her. And also, I wanted to ask you, Linda, when we come back, is it possible when you're thinking you want to ask in the workplace, is it realistic versus unrealistic? Sometimes we can ask unrealistic things and create more problems than when we started. So how do you think about your ask before you ask it? Okay, we'll get to that in just a couple minutes.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Have you checked out our website lately? It continues to grow with all kinds of inspirational and helpful stuff, like Dr. Randy's blogs, his intentionals, videos, and more. All free and all available to you 24/7 at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Doing one thing today could mean a stronger, more intentional marriage in Christ.
We're already seeing a difference in our marriage. I feel that we're much more connected and we're learning to blend together rather than try to get the other person to see our way of thinking.
Make a commitment today to join Dr. Randy Carlson for the Intentional Love Marriage Conference coming this fall to Michigan, New Mexico, and Arizona. Register now at theintentionallove.com.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. We're talking about the workplace, one of the five essentials, focusing on the topic of how do you ask outrageously? How do you communicate in the workplace? Linda Swindling, who is our intentional workplace coach, is here. She's got a new book by that title. Well, she's not actually here. She's on the phone, but we're focused on this topic. Let's go to Lisa first, and then I want you to address that issue, Linda, between realistic ask and unrealistic ask.
Okay.
When too much, too much. Okay, Lisa, welcome to the program.
Hi, I'm glad to be talking to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your call. What's your question?
I have asked, and I feel like I haven't been heard. and it doesn't have to do with money. It doesn't have to do with benefits or anything that affects me personally, but it does affect how our team works. And I see that around me, my team members feel beaten down by the amount of work and that the work is not being distributed in the best way that it could. And I've shared some of the feedback and ideas to my manager, several different managers, over the course of the last several months. And my outrageous ask has been asked, and there hasn't been any action taken on it or any feedback that they're interested in changing the way things are.
So they haven't even come back and explained. I mean, they haven't said to you, thank you for your input, but this is the way it is. You're not hearing anything?
I heard that. I did hear that.
That's what you heard?
Thank you for your input. Mm-hmm.
But this is the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Good
question.
At what
point does it become now your, I heard you talking about your ask becoming an expectation and that turning into disappointment, and that's where I am now.
Yeah.
So I hate to leave my team behind because we're still all struggling with what we're doing. What is the next step for me, do you think? Would it be to move on to another team or another position?
How long ago was it, Lisa, that you asked?
It was 10 months ago.
Okay. So it's time to recircle. And what were you asking for specifically? Was it we need help as far as admin help, or we need a better distribution of work? What was your, you know, in a question, what was the question?
It was to form a better team. And if I could just give an analogy, it would be such as when you go to the grocery store and you have several lines to pick from. You pick a line and you stand in it. Then you're looking around and you realize that a line next to you is going faster than the one you're in. So my idea was, instead of putting our work into instead of picking a line when we distribute the work, let's make one line, and that way the work gets done according mm-hmm. to whoever's available next.
So you actually see a better way of getting the job done. Am I hearing you partly? You're saying you see a way to improve the business, and they're not listening.
Yes.
Okay.
And the person you ask has the ability to change that?
Yes.
Okay. So either they're choosing not to, or one common thing that people do is we put too much explanation in front of it, and we don't make it easy to say yes. So it doesn't sound like you're doing that, or you know, you wouldn't have given us a simple analogy. That is one thing, though, you can do is you can say, hey, it's been 10 months since we talked. It's time to revisit this. Can we, and then you just tell them, change the way we do this thing. Here's the plan. Do you like option A or option B? And mm-hmm. then it's an easy ask. Mm-hmm. Then it's, yes, I like this or yes, I don't. And then you can say, would you like some support? But see, what we do is we bury, a lot of times, we bury it with the explanation, and they're like, they don't hear that clear ask. It's an easy thing. I've already figured it out. Not going to cost mm-hmm. us anything. Can we do this thing? This or this? There's some really good business reasons behind it. Do you want to hear them? So did you do it like that, a real simple request up front that was easy to say yes to?
Or was it pretty, did it give them too much information
detail
to process, Lisa?
I've given a suggestion several different times over the course of the last 10 months and in mm-hmm. different ways, some ways longer, some ways shorter. I've talked to some of my team members, gotten buy-in from other parts of our team. I feel like I've done that.
Well, let me ask you this, Linda. We only have a couple minutes. I want to ask you this. When I hear Lisa sharing, you know, getting in the head of the supervisor, he or she uh-huh. might be saying, maybe not to Lisa, but saying, you don't understand. I've got 100 things I'm trying to take care of, 100 priorities, and what you bring up is got some, you know, validity to it. But frankly, it's not something that's a priority for me. It's not. It hasn't gotten to that point in the pile. And I guess that gets back to my question. When is it realistic? When do you simply say, hey, I've done what I can. I've shared what I can. I either have to accept the reality of this is the way it is, or I've got to, you know, I got to pray and move on.
Yeah, sometimes you do have to just pray and move on. And Lisa, you may have already made that decision. One other thing you can do, though, is sometimes we do it and we ask for forgiveness instead of permission. If it's within our, you know, we just say, well, I just did a beta. So it sounds like, Lisa, if they're not listening to you, they may not be listening to you in other ways.
Mm.
And so, you know, it doesn't hurt to ask. It doesn't hurt to ask simply. It doesn't hurt to say, is there any reason why we can't do it? You know, any reason why we can't? But then outrageous becomes obnoxious after a while. After you've asked and asked and asked and they've told you no and no and no, then neither one of you wants to have that conversation.
Very good.
So, yeah.
When that's a good thought. When outrageous becomes obnoxious,
right.
There is a point. Hey, you know, we could have gone on for much longer, but this has been very helpful. I would encourage our listeners to come on over to our website. We have information there at theintentionallife.com on our broadcast highlights that'll give you information on Linda and on her book. And it would be maybe a very good read for you in the workplace, How to Be a Good Communicator. How to ask outrageously when it's important to do so. I think it'll be a very helpful resource. And Linda, I appreciate you taking this half hour to join us live today on the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
Appreciate it, and God bless you in your work.
Thank you. God bless you.
Again, you know, intentional living is all about what one thing. And that's the question. What one thing have you heard in this half hour from a caller, from Linda, maybe something you've been just absorbing that says, hey, that's one thing I could do, or one change I could make in my life that would be helpful in this area. We've talked about how to ask outrageously, and I like the ending here, but don't be obnoxious in the process, because you can maybe win a little battle but lose the war. Ultimately, remember, communication is two-way. As you hear me say over and over, we tend to share from our intention. You tend to absorb from your, you know, your experience. And so make sure you understand your intentions when you're communicating, and really try to hear the other people beyond your own expectations. Talking Intentionally today. Love to hear your feedback on the program. You can go to theintentionallife.com. Share there at our Facebook. You can get there through our website or call 888-1717.
I am in a male-dominated field. I'm one of the younger females that is in the field that I'm in, and I'm also in a position of authority sometimes. And there's certain situations where they come off and say, oh, well, you're a woman. We don't have to listen to you. Or you're 10 or 15 years younger than us. You're just not good enough.
Well, my problem is how to ask other employees to do different tasks without coming off bossy or rude.
My problem is that I just cannot believe when I finally said I've had enough, I told the boss, you know, this is what she's doing, she's hurting these people, this is against the philosophy that you've always said that you would never be. He stuck up for her.
But I had a boss at one time that did something that I thought was very disrespectful. We had our meeting when my supervisor began to get passive aggressive because she told me, well, it's not that big a deal. And I said, well, it is that big a deal to me. And she asked me, well, what is it you want me to do? I said, well, I want that type of behavior to stop.
You're expected to work overtime and you can't. And it's really tough because you're needed. I mean, they need your help. And unfortunately, I work for a company that when it's mandatory, it's mandatory.
Well, I work in a factory. I've been there for 20 years and I've just been a Christian for 2.5 years. I used to go to work and I used to allow co-workers to, you know, frustrate me or I get upset or whatever. And since I've become a Christian and God's changed my heart and everything, I try to go to work with a positive attitude and try to let Christ show through me.
Boy, there is a lot there. You know, all those little clips that you heard of real people calling in and sharing with us, it made me reflect back on the scripture that says, remember, you don't work, I'm paraphrasing, you don't work for men, you work for the Lord. So in the workplace, understand that ultimately it's him that you're working for. Very powerful. Hey, listen, two things quickly. I want to remind you the fall series of Intentional Love Marriage Conferences is really moving fast. We've got a couple of the conferences filling up very fast. October, November, Michigan, New Mexico, Arizona. Those are the three stops for this fall. And secondly, that we're counting down the last week here, next week, to this very special offer of a brand new calendar that we've created. You're going to enjoy it for your gift to the ministry or as you become a member of the ministry. All of the information is available at theintentionallife.com or you can call during West Coast business hours, 888-1717 and press number 4. Again, thanks to Linda Swindley for joining me today on the Intentional Living Center. We'll be back next week talking money, financial infidelity on Monday. See you then.